in the cheap seats. And there was. I think it's the white switches just above it, buddy. There you go. Hey, there you go. Now you guys can read your Bibles. Open up to Romans 12. We'll be there this morning. If you want to stick your finger in Hebrews 12 as well, that might be helpful. There you have it. For those of you who don't know me, don't know my story, I want to give you a little bit of who's standing up here in front of you this morning, and then I'd like to pray, and then we'll get to our sermon. I was a sinner, just plain and simple. I grew up in New York back in the 70s, and in that culture, you were either Catholic or you were Jewish. There was no in between. And so I was raised Catholic until about the age of 12, and then we stopped going altogether, became biannual churchgoers. It wouldn't be until, and I would have a tumultuous relationship with my parents. I mean, bad, like bad. And I would purposely move away from my mother. I would move to my father and my stepmother, which I would ruin that relationship as well. And then I would start college my freshman year. And October of my freshman year, do you know I was surrounded by a group of Christian folk who were into loving on people, looking out for people who need Jesus, helped me recognize what selfish route I was going on. It's all about me, and I was recognizing that it has to be more at a life than what I can grab out of it. And they introduced me to Jesus, and I realized how much of a sinner I was. The liar, the cheat, the stealer, the sexually immoral, the laundry list goes on. But do you know the blood of Jesus washes your laundry white as snow? Whew. Anyway, I would be baptized in the closed dormitory pool. 2 weeks later, it was cold. Let me tell you, but I remember. Anyway. Jesus can turn anything around. Sometimes I think we sit in here and it's easy to be the frozen chosen, isn't it? You forget what he's done for you and how that can then apply. If you can just at least remember what he's done for you, maybe I could be a part of someone else's spiritual journey. How can I get Jesus involved with them? How can I get their spiritual journey? Maybe they've started on its journey and, man, they mosey speed. Right? There's people that walk like this. I can't do it. It hurts my back. I'm the one in the family that does this all the time. Yeah, I am the caged beast when it comes to preaching. I'll walk all over the place. I'm sorry. But I want you to be able to feel like you can come alongside someone. I want to spiritually encourage you today. But you know what? I'm going to till the soil a little bit, turn it up, and it's nice and loose because of all the rain. I want to till the soil a little bit, help you remind you why you became a Christian, what he has done for you. Now, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're in here and you're just checking out church for the first time. Praise Jesus. Thank you for being here this morning. I get it. Maybe some of this might be way over your head. That's okay. Come talk to me afterwards. Come talk to any of the guys that were passing plates afterwards. Talk to somebody that was shaking your hand as you walked in afterwards. And I'd love to take you to coffee if today doesn't work. But let somebody know. I don't want it to go unnoticed that you were here. You're here. Praise Jesus, you're here if you don't know him. Thank you. Hopefully we can love on you for an hour or so. And that's where Romans 12 starts, doesn't it? Romans 12, 9, okay? Paul has just gotten finished saying the passage that everybody remembers out of Romans 12. Transform, renew your mind, right? Everyone knows this, right? Living, offer yourself as a holy living sacrifice. We all know that one. Those two. And then he launches into spiritual gifts and how the Lord has gifted you, spiritually speaking, and how you should be using those gifts. And then he moves here in chapter 9. I love it. He transitions from, you've been gifted, love sincerely. love sincerely. Chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Massive. I could preach all month on those, that one verse. But I got 5 minutes. Love must be sincere. Have you ever, maybe you're like me, you don't really pay attention oftentimes to what you don't feel. I don't feel hungry, but that pepperoni pizza smells delicious. I shall eat and consume all of it, right? Praise Jesus for youth events. Just saying. We don't pay attention to our non-feelings a bunch, but when it comes to this, I don't love them, so I'm not going to interact. I don't feel it. First off, stop. Go try. Try. Do what you can. Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And don't get me wrong. Faking it till you're making it. If you go months faking it till you're making it, come talk to me. There's probably some other rock in your river that we need to move out of the way. Okay? But yeah, try your best. If you don't feel love for a certain individual, a certain situation, man, try anyway. Try anyway. Now, much to the chagrin of many children out there, I could probably tell you that, without my trying broccoli over and over again, I would not have an appreciation for properly cooked broccoli. Okay? But love must be sincere. It can't be hidden. So let's get back on topic now. Loving people, when you can actually love a situation, it shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be stealth. Love should not be hidden. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to go like ding dong ditch and leave a gift basket on someone's door to bless them, do that. Kris Kringling? Is that what that was? That was Kris Kringling. Go ahead and do that. That's fun. But love, sincere love, must not be hidden. It's got to be obvious. Ladies and gentlemen, when I walk into a room, it's obvious. I'm loud, I'm obnoxious, I'm tall. You can't miss me. Okay? Now you pick someone like my wife, sweet love of my life. She's smaller. She tends to be quiet and reserved and can enter into a situation and enter out of a situation and never be noticed. She loves you. Don't get me wrong. Love, sincere love, needs to be obvious. Obvious. Now, sometimes it takes more work with certain people than others. Yes? Sometimes you wake up, and maybe it's your spouse or maybe a roommate, if you're like a young adult and you've got plenty of roommates, and they have woken up on the wrong side of the bed. They've got every wrong quality about them that you don't like, and their breath smells because it's the morning. That's difficult to go, Jesus loves you. I get that. But yet we are supposed to love. Man, I see you're having a rough morning. How can I help? Oh, you're having a rough morning because of me. How can I really help? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. I think it's oftentimes we forget. I think I've mentioned this here before in the past. It's my favorite verse, so I mention it as much as I can. You are called to hate. Not people, not indiscriminate things. You are called to hate evil. Hate evil, cling to what is good. You have been given the ability to determine the difference between the two. Am I right? I got a lot of you going, there's a lot of gray in life, Jason. Right? Everybody just thought it right now. I'm not dumb. I think we give gray too much credit. I'm not saying that there isn't gray scenarios in life. I'm not saying that. But I think we make that swath way too big. There's evil and there's good, and we should know how to tell the difference. Amen? Amen? All right. Just so you know who's preaching in front of you this morning, I have one of my best friends wrestling with adultery, wrestling with moving out of his wife of 20 years, moving away from his family and his children, three children. Can I tell you I'm a little impatient? He should be able, he's a good practicing Christian. He should be able to tell the difference between good and evil. And walking away would be evil. And he's struggling with it. You know what I'm struggling with? Loving him sincerely. I'm struggling with that. But you know what? That's clinging to what is good. That's clinging to what is good. We need to cling to what is good. What does this sound like to you? Loving sincerely, hating evil, clinging to good. Clinging being like glue. I got any woodworkers in here? Any modelers? Any crafty type of people? Man, you know, you've got the wood glue, you got the Elmer's glue, you got the hot glue, you got the super glue. You got Gorilla Glue, thank you. No sponsorship here, thank you. You got duct tape if all else fails, yes, gentlemen? Oh, we'll duct tape some out into next week, won't we? Clinging, that's the idea of cling. What does that sound like to you? Somebody who loves sincerely, who hates evil, who clings to good. Sounds like Jesus to me. Is that a Sunday school answer? Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Doesn't make it untrue. He loves us sincerely, doesn't he? For those of you who have known him for a while, can you praise him that he loves you sincerely? Oh, I got a couple of amens out here. Again, we ain't the frozen chosen. You ain't going to scare me by yelling an amen, hallelujah. Don't. You got that right. It's okay. He loved us sincerely. When? When did he love us? When we were perfect? Oh, praise Jesus, no. Man, do you know, y'all know that I'm still a work in progress. Some of y'all are a little bit better off than I am, but I'm still a work in progress. Praise Jesus, he loved me beforehand I got my act straight. He loved me sincerely. He hated the evil in my life, but wanted to cling on to what was good. That I am his. That he created me so that he could love me. So that I could worship him. Isn't that our, don't you love that being part of your story if you know Jesus? Do you need reminding this morning? Man, sometimes we just need to be reminded. Hey, man, the flood waters and the mountain was on fire. It's like a terrible ad to visit Lake County. Let me remind you, beyond, push all that aside for this half hour that we've got left. Jesus loves you. Present tense. Present tense. Now look, me being not perfect, I think I can speak from, you know, someone who's not perfect is able to look out and see someone who isn't perfect. As much as I love y'all. Other than maybe Helen Hill. I love you, Helen. No, seriously, he loves you right now, present tense. Present tense. Interestingly enough, you want to go back through your Gospels? Who did he interact with? Who did he interact with? Well, he acted with the people who were powerful, like that Roman centurion. He was worldly, in the world's eyes, he was powerful, but came to him humbly, right? He ministered to, found the spiritual need of the person that came to him and dealt with their spiritual need in whatever way he could. He dealt with the worldly who were powerful. He dealt with people who had everything. He had dealt with people who had nothing. Dealt with people who were promiscuous, that told half-truths instead of the whole truth. Dealt with the greedy, the fraudulent, the liars, the sexually immoral, the sick and desperate. Oh, man, I just think of that woman with that bleeding condition. Just to touch the hem of his robes. Your faith is healed. Your faith has healed you. Your faith healed you. Healed me. Praise Jesus, yes? He dealt with the handicapped. He dealt with the mourners who had lost loved ones. He dealt with the ignorant. Read Matthew, see how ignorant the apostles were. He dealt with the doubters. Thomas, buddy, let me help. He dealt with the haters. We all came in today, we had something. We sat down with luggage, right? We have baggage. Who do you relate to? Who do you relate to this morning? This morning, right now. Oh man, I didn't leave this outside. We got an altar here. I just want you to somehow, in some way, mentally leave whatever you're dealing with here at the altar today. Because Jesus loves you and has forgiven you. He forgives you now in the present tense. Could you testify right now with someone over lunch or at maybe even at the snack time? Hey, man, let me tell you about the ways Jesus forgave me. I got 10. Can you beat my 10? Guess what? That was all this morning. Come on. Jesus loves you, and you have a testimony to give to people. Can you allow what he's doing in your life to affect change in how you see evil and how you see good and how you love on the people around you? Which brings us to the next movement here in Romans 12. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. I love that. Zeal and fervor. Hopefully this morning I have inspired at least an inkling or an encouraged you an inkling, and you've kind of got a little swell of what Jesus has done for you. Allow that to supercharge what you're doing. Allow it to move you in a direction that bolsters your efforts in reaching out to people. Here it is this morning. I bet you if you look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, give a quick glance behind, not being creepy, there's probably somebody sitting very near you you don't know. You don't know their name. You don't know their story. You don't know how the Lord is working in their lives. Maybe they're here and they're ready to meet Jesus. Be part of that. Be ready to come alongside them. Let what he has done in your life bolster you to come along and serve others faithfully. Keep your spiritual zeal. Hebrews 12, I told you we were going there. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I get it. Some situations in life are hard. Oh, man, how many times can you threaten to leave your wife? Patience. Sometimes it takes diligence, perseverance. You can do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do it. If you're having trouble, if you're, man, I need someone to help me help someone. Help me help you, help me help you. Tell me, come alongside, email, call, pull me aside. Guess what? I know there's a bunch of people in here who would love to pray with you, check in on you. Give you advice if you're seeking it. Give you counsel if you're seeking that. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and not just here. Hmm? So cast off your sin, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Righteousness, hunger and thirst after that thing. You know what? There was one moment in my life where I really truly started becoming hungry. And not spiritually speaking, just rumble in the tummy. But it reminded me what hungering and thirsting after righteousness really is. What does that look like in your life? Because again, it doesn't look, just because it looks one way in my life doesn't mean it's going to look the same way in your life or in your life or in Ewing's life. It looks different to different people. What does hungering and thirsting for righteousness look like for you? I mean, really hungering. And this leads us to our third movement. Because he doesn't want us to grow weary and lose heart. Because if we're honest for the people who aren't believers in here or who have been believers for a short period of time, life is not all pepperoni pizzas and puppies, is it? No. You know that's right, Pastor. You know that's right. It is not. There's a lot of things that are going to occur in your life as a Christian that are going to challenge your resolve. Sometimes even question your theology. Even question your faith. Don't grow weary. Let people know that this is going on with you. Help us to come along. Let us know. Sometimes it's difficult for us to spot when someone is having trouble, isn't it? Oh, Facebook looks okay. Oh, their Instagram is simply filled up with food. Everything must be okay. No, check in. But consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Be joyful in hope. What's that hope? What is that hope? Is that hope that that service is over in 15 minutes? Or is that a hope pent up in spending eternity with Jesus? I hope that's your hope. I hope that that's your hope. That you recognize that this life is about that long compared to an eternity long rope. I mean, come on. You're only here for a short time. Have hope in the right things. Put your hope in the right things and move on. Move on appropriately, don't get me wrong. But move on. Get going. Come alongside somebody. Pray with somebody. You got a marriage? Well, how do you bolster that? Because let me tell you right now, that's your strong point right there. If you are single, praise Jesus. You don't have to split your attention. That's Bible, y'all. You don't have to split your attention. You can actually focus on Christ entirely. But we live in a fallen world, right? Be joyful in hope, patient in the affliction. That's trouble. That's a big churchy word for trouble. Patient in times of trouble. Anybody go through some times of trouble lately? Mm-hmm. Me too. Come on, y'all. We had the frozen chosen. Mm-hmm. Be faithful in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, you're probably looking at someone in this room that you don't, A, don't know their name, and B, you haven't prayed with ever or in a while. I don't feel like it, Jason. I don't feel like loving sincerely either. But sometimes you just got to start doing and then discover the joy that it really is. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Present tense. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. You get to boast about that. Man, there was nothing I could do but Jesus. Remember what he has done for you. What has he forgiven you? What has he called you to do? Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Wait, what? Yeah. We also glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Man, praise Jesus for that, yeah? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. If I can get you to take away anything today, don't honor yourself. I'm higher than yourself. Honor other people. Allow people to be more important than yourself. It's a great place to start. Allowing yourself to go, you know what? I'm going to set me aside. I'm going to honor someone else higher than me. It's a great place to start. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Boils right down to what we say every single week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Let me ask, what's the Spirit telling you that you need to do? What is the Spirit has been telling? Hopefully you've been paying attention long enough, either this morning or maybe throughout the week, better yet. What has the Spirit been telling you you should be doing? Do it. Please do it. Don't put a rock in the river just so you don't have to. You can. It's okay. Love on people. Love on people. Whether it's something big like mudding out a house that's been flooded or pulling off trees that have fallen on somebody's house, or serving at the youth, or maybe it's even something smaller. When was the last time you invited someone from church you didn't know to lunch? I get it. Church, we're here, we're meeting friends. There's a lot of people with lots of friends, right? Sometimes we're the toughest nut to crack. It's simply just inviting someone to lunch or having a kind word with them over coffee, at least. So I'm going to challenge you. This is our challenge this morning before I start to wrap up. I'm going to give you a challenge before we even start to wrap up. You've creepily eyeballed somebody. This is what you're going to do. Today's the day. It's not name tag Sunday, but this is where we're going to introduce ourselves, even to people that we already know, with a name. So that way you can kind of like cheat. I know you, but I should know your name by now. I have forgotten. And it's now embarrassingly long enough period of time. Hey, my name's Jason. Hey, you want to go to lunch? How about coffee? How about a brownie? How can we be praying for you? Even better. Pick somebody in this room. You've eyeballed them. Pick somebody. It's okay. You can do it. You can do it. Because here's the deal. True, sincere love looks different, right? True, sincere love looks different than just showing up on a Sunday morning, check box, I did it. No, it looks different. Maybe it's something as simple as parking people out in the rain. Thank you, Chris Mel. Maybe it's simply as something as simple as I'm praying for you. I got to take off this morning, but I am praying for you. Maybe it's simply as writing an email or sending a text or writing out a note, sending actual mail. But letting people know that you're interested more in about their spiritual life than their friendship. Friendship's great. Spiritual life is better. Ephesians 5 says, for you were once darkness. Because again, it all boils back to what has he done for you? For you were once darkness. Me too. But now you are light in the Lord. Who is? You are. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what's disobedient to do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper! Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up! This meaning is twofold here. It's for the person who doesn't know Jesus, and it's for the people who have kind of shifted down a couple of gears in Christianity. Oh, I need to take a rest period. Well, rest period's over. Break's over. Let's go. Okay? One of my favorite parts of the Gospels is when Jesus looks at the apostles and goes, hey, let's go across the river and across the lake and go get some rest. Oh, man, that sounds like a great idea. They just finished feeding like 5,000 people. That sounds like a great idea. And they go, and they go across the lake. And do you know the people ran around the lake and met them at the dock? Break's over. Come on. It's not what they wanted. Break's over. Come on. Let me help. I want to know what you're doing. I want to come alongside. I want to see what Jesus is doing in your life. And then that passage in Ephesians says, continues on in verse 15, 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity, man. I get it. Saturday comes and you're like, I get it. Some of you work 16-hour shifts, you get home, drool. I get it. Make the most of every opportunity. Some of us have children. Those children will eventually leave the house, become burgeoning young adults. Make the most of every opportunity. Some of us have grandkids. Make the most of every opportunity. Some of us have friends. Be spiritual with them. Make the most of every... That doesn't mean stop playing board games with them. But hey, how can I be praying with it? It takes 5 minutes. Hey, how about we go help such and such next weekend? Sounds great. It takes 5 minutes. Maybe you recognize how much the Lord has done for you, and you're looking at that person across the way, and you're thinking, man, I wonder, where are they at spiritually right now? See, you get to live out the rest of your days in service to Him. You get to live out your days not addicted to some outmoded addiction to self, some outmoded addiction to the world, or some other such disease, darkness. You get to want to have to. Anybody in family camp from like years ago? You get to want to have to. You get to want to have to. You get to want to, have to. You're allowed. You get to do that. It's awesome. I hope and pray that you wake up just like from your nap this afternoon. I get it. You know, we're all taking a nap. I get it. I am tiring. I understand. When you wake up, I hope you just like, what? Jesus loves me. Yeah, man. What do we get to do now? What's next? I hope so. I hope so. Don't let anything stop you from hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Don't let... What's the next step for you? Because you get to live maximal. You get another... What's the next big step I've got to take to deepen my relationship with Jesus. Now, sometimes we can put stuff in our way, right? I can put a big boulder. I don't like my life. My job is the worst. I don't like the person I'm married to. You ever notice how sometimes the biggest stones move the easiest? It's the little Legos you drop down on the ground that hurt the most. Man, I see Ewing out there. She's laughing like, yeah, man, I've got boys. You step on a Lego in the middle of the night, you forgot that it was even left there. What's in your way from taking the next big step? Hate that evil. Cling to what is good. Now, understand, Satan is going to attack you. I'm going to wrap up here. Satan's going to attack you, and he's going to try to stop you, and he'll try to put boulders in your way. Sidestep and keep going. Because you're more than victorious in Christ. You are more than victorious in Christ. Do you understand that this morning? I want you all to be encouraged this morning. You're going to go out and you're going to do great things for Jesus. Man, and I can't wait to hear the news. Because let's face it, it's Lake County and it's small. I will hear. Because you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for who? Who? You? Me? Obnoxious old me? You? Everybody say it. Me. Me. Remember what he's done for you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know Jesus today, please come talk to me. Man, come on. I won't be this loud while we're talking up front, but I would love to help you take that first step in that journey. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I am so humbled to be able to stand up here and preach your word. Father, I pray that you have spoken to the people here this morning, that they would remember your still small voice and not my big loud one. Lord, I pray that you would be able to work in the lives of everybody here. Fashion a heart for service. Fashion a heart for love. Fashion a heart that would hate sin but cling to what is good. Lord, may we be able to be rich in your mercy and grace. And help us to dispense it, not hoard it. Help us to look to people, to invite them in and bring them along. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, again, I don't have a guitar, so I can't sing you out. So feel free to hum something you know and invite someone out to lunch. Have a great afternoon.